Anybody familiar with their story? Went to the Super Bowl four times, lost four times. They were the epitome, the example of a team that just couldn't quite make it all the way. But, you know, even in a situation like that, there are some stories you can learn from. And there was one particular game where they had no chance of winning. They were behind so far, they couldn't possibly come back. It's toward the end of the game. And I can't remember the exact play. It's kind of a moot point unless you're a big football fan anyway. But there was a particular play, and you could tell by the outcome of the play that they hadn't given up. It looked hopeless. And in fact, as far as the score was concerned, it was hopeless. But for years and years, the people involved in that situation, people would come to them and they would say, of all the things I've seen in football, that day that you didn't give up is something I'm still teaching young people when they learn to play sports. And giving up, you know, we look at the situation sometimes and we say, oh, we're going to win for sure. Yesterday, I was just convinced Utah was going to beat Ohio State. Well, that didn't happen. And we lived in Utah for 15 years. I've never lived in Ohio. I have nothing against Mark Hall, who loves Ohio State. But at the same time, I thought perhaps Utah would win, and it looked like they would. But in the end, they didn't. But, you know, on this other side of that coin, it looked like Ohio State was going to lose. But they didn't. They won at the end. And I got news for you. In the end, I read the end of the book. We win. Amen. And but in the meantime, how are you going to approach 2022? Now, I am old enough that long ago I decided, you know, this New Year's resolution thing is not really all that big of a deal. In the first place, why wait until New Year's? If it's good to do, do it right now. You know, it's July. And I need to do something, well, do it right now. Don't wait till January. You're just putting off what's good. Do it now. And on the other side of that coin is, you say, like we were talking about going to the gymnasium and working out on Saturday. There'll be a whole bunch of people there. Give it 2 weeks. They'll be gone. Because folks have a tendency to make commitments that they don't keep. If you're really going to change, you need to let the Lord change you every day. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. If you've made a decision to do something for God this year, you're going to be faithful to church, or you're going to go soul winning every week, or you're going to hand out tracts, or you're going to give to missions, or you're going to get involved in the bus ministry, or like Brother Bob, you're going to teach in the school now, you know, something like that. If you made a decision, stick with it. And if you stumble, the Bible says in Proverbs that the righteous man, he falls down seven times and he gets back up and keeps on going. But in this passage, there is, in a simple form, it's a way to live. It's a way to see the world, a way to see the year, a way to approach things. It's right in the middle of, well, actually towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which was early in the Lord's ministry. And I won't have you do it right now, but you might go back and read chapter 5 later on and kind of see how this all gets started. But the Lord is teaching a multitude. He's teaching his disciples. And the greatest problem I have with this passage, and I'm going to look at verse 7 here in just a minute, is that Stephen Harris preached a message for us about 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And the title of the message was, Did You Think to Ask? And Stephen Harris is a good preacher. And every time I see this passage, I kind of relive that message he preached, and so I try not to re-preach his message tonight, but it's more than just the asking part of it. We're going to look at the seeking, and we're going to look at the rest of it as well. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and I'll read these few verses, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Father, thank you tonight. We see the promise. We've heard it. We've memorized it. We've lived it in some days, but we need to hear it again tonight. And I pray that it would change the way we come into and live in the year ahead and in our life ahead. God, help us tonight. Just restore our faith, renew our faith, strengthen our faith. Lord, help us not to ever take the circumstance and make it more prominent than the Word of God and the promises, because the promises of God defy circumstances. And I pray tonight you'd give us a good time in your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so good to see you. Alex, how you been? Been working hard?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to see you tonight. We're going to have Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You ever said to something or said about something or said to somebody, I'm not even going to ask. Mr. Mendez and I were talking about a situation before church tonight, and we know good and well when we ask, it's not going to be received well. Sometimes you just don't ask. Sometimes you just don't think there's any reason to ask because you don't feel like someone is going to help you or someone can help you. Why would you ask anybody anything? You know, sometimes we ask questions because we know that that they know or they have something that we desire. And if we ask them, we could receive it. And I got to tell you right off the start here, who better to ask than the Lord Jesus Christ? What is there that he cannot do for you, and what is there that he does not know? He's the ideal. He's the ultimate. He's the thousand times over best person to ask for anything. The word ask means, of course, to inquire, to request, to express a desire. It comes from a word that is often translated that way. In fact, sometimes in the Bible it's translated to beg or to crave or to call for something. In this particular verse, that verb ask is in the present tense, and it's an active tense, which means it's something that you and I are to do. It's an imperative, if you will. It's a command. For example, in Matthew 21:22, the Lord says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, we went through this about a year or so ago. In fact, Brother Leo, I remember when he was here, he sure enjoyed it, so maybe it was a little over a year, but we talked about the fact that sometimes we ask and we don't expect. Folks, when you ask the Lord, do you expect him to answer? We ask the Lord, for example, to send a visitor. We ought to be ready for visitors. We ask the Lord to meet a need. We ought to assume the need met and move on. When you ask believing, it makes a difference. And if you don't believe, there's a problem. In Mark 11:24, he says, I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And a fellow came to my house one time. He was a Mormon, and he said, oh, Joseph Smith went to God. And yeah, that's not true, but anyway. And he asked for wisdom because the Bible says, if any man ask, God will give him wisdom. And I said, yeah, I know that means me too, not just somebody else. So I don't have to listen to what he had to say. I can look at the Bible myself, and I can get wisdom. That doesn't mean you can't be taught. People can teach you, but anyway. James 4:2, he says that sometimes we ask amiss, and the word amiss means that we ask for the wrong reasons or for the wrong purpose. But when we ask, it is because we need something, we desire something, and folks, God cares about our needs and our desires. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible in Psalm 37 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Somebody says, oh, good, that means I can get a new car, or I can get a new house, or I can be rich. You know, God may give you a house or a car, but if you really delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to delight in different things beside houses and cars. The houses and the cars that we have and everything else that we have, God gives us, they're temporary. And they are here so that we can serve him. But there are better things in life than houses and cars. I know a lot of people that have houses and cars, and they're not happy. And their life is not satisfying, and their situation is distressful. And just because you have possessions doesn't mean you got what you need. But you know what I found out? When you take care of what God has given you, when you take care of his business, if you will, he takes care of your business. Some of you today got a giving statement, and it said, here's how much you gave last year. One of two or three things happens when you get one of those. You can look at it, and you can say, wow, I gave that much? That feels good. Or you can look at it and say, well, that's all I gave? Or you can look at it, and you can say, well, I think I can do better than that next year. You know, everything you give, God takes care of us. Last week and a half, everything I own is broken. My car broke, my shower broke, my dishwasher broke, switch in the backyard broke. And you say, well, you know, that maybe that's the devil out to get you. I don't know. I just think things break, you know. But there are some things that my car, for example, that I may not have the money to fix them right now, or I might prefer not to spend the money. But you know what? God's got money to fix things. Amen. And when I can look at a giving statement and say, I've been faithful to God, it just reminds me, when I'm faithful to God, he's that much more faithful to me. And that gives me peace. Ask, and you shall, and it shall be given you. And sometimes I misquote that, and I say, ask, and you shall receive. That's from another passage. But ask, and it shall be given you. And look at the example he uses in verse 11. And he uses children as the example. We just had Christmas. Now, I don't have any little children anymore, but praise God, I've got grandchildren. And I did a real tricky thing this year. They were staying with us one night, and my wife wasn't back from work yet. I threw them all in the car, took them to Walmart, and I said, let's see what they got here that you like. And they went around, and so I had my phone, and I took pictures. Okay, I've got to get one of these, maybe get one of these and whatever. And what did I pick? I picked the things I knew would make them happy. And we got this one little thing. I want one. It's a little car track, and then you snap it all together, and it winds up being about, I don't know, about 4 feet long. It's not electric. It's just plastic that's got a fence on both sides, and then it's got a little car. And when you turn the little car on, it lights up, and it runs around the track. And it's a simple thing, but they had the best time with that. And I thought, that looks like a lot of fun. I'm going to help them with that a little bit. And they were playing games with it, making it jump and that sort of thing. And, you know, the reason I picked that is because when my grandson saw it, his eyes lit up. Now, don't misunderstand. God has better things for you than the little toys that make us happy. But God cares about you. Amen? And if you have a need, why wouldn't you ask? In fact, what's the illustration he uses? He says, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If, for example, in verse 10, he says, if you ask a fish, if your son came to you and said, Dad, can I have a fish? You wouldn't give him a serpent or a stone or something like that. You'd give him something good. Isn't God good? I think it's very safe to say we don't ask enough. And sometimes we do ask amiss, but let's leave that on the side table for now. We don't ask enough. And folks, when you don't ask, one of two or three things is the problem. Either you don't think God would answer, he will, amen, or you don't really want it very bad. And folks, what do we desire? That's what drives our asking. I'll give you an example. Do we desire to see souls saved in our church? Amen? I would ask you, would you please pray daily, Lord, let us see a soul saved on Sunday. Amen? Amen. Now, I got to believe, because that's what the Bible says, if we would be faithful to pray for that, we are a church, we pray as a church, if we'd be faithful to pray for that, that God would answer that request. And folks, that's one of the main reasons we're here. Don't misunderstand. We're not just here to be soul winners. There's more to it than that. But without that, a lot of folks are going to die and go to hell. When you drive down the neighborhoods or the streets that you drive by when you go on the way to church and you look out and you see somebody over there and they're doing whatever they do, just remember something. That person's going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. Ask, and it shall be given you. And then he uses the word seek in verse 7. It's a different thought. The word seek, sometimes we seek things when they're lost or when we cannot remember where we put them. We desire to find something. Interestingly, that word in the Bible is translated seek over 100 times. It's the very same verb tenses that we saw before. It's a present tense, and why I emphasize that is now's the time to ask. Now's the time to seek. Amen? And then it's an active tense, which means you and I do it. And it's an imperative, which means it's a command. What it says is, we're supposed to be doing this. I like it. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, I got a lot of those, but when they came to Jesus in the garden, and he said, whom seek ye? They were looking for something, weren't they? And why were they looking for him? Wrong reason. They wanted to arrest him. Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell backwards on the ground. And I picture in my mind what you might see in the movies, a shockwave of some kind. And I don't know how God did it, but it knocked them all down. That's the God we serve. We seek. What is it that we seek? It goes back again to our desires. In Matthew chapter 2, Herod will seek the young child, the Bible said. In Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Deuteronomy 4:29 says that you will find him if you seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Proverbs 8:17, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And there are some other verses in Psalms I won't take time to read right now. What are the things we seek? What are you seeking in 2022? I'm going to have a hard time saying 22. I just got used to 21. And a 2022, what are you going to seek in 2022? Well, he says the first thing you should seek is the kingdom of God. Now, as a lost person, I would seek to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, I would seek to have my sins forgiven, to turn from my sins and ask Christ to save me. That's a start. But Jesus didn't say that just, and by the way, it's also in the Sermon on the Mount. He's not just talking to lost people. He's talking to you and I. What are you seeking? We talked about that this morning. This is a time of preparation. There's going to be a presentation to the king, and he's going to examine us, and then there's going to be a promotion of sorts if we're what we ought to be. But it all starts right now with what are we seeking? What are you seeking in 2022? First of all, someone says, I'm seeking to make more money. Wrong seeking. I'm seeking to improve my health. It's a good thing to improve your health, but that's not what's first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. How can a saved person seek the kingdom of God? About 7 years ago in Maryland, 7 or 8, 10 maybe, we printed up some buttons and we handed them out in January, and it said, first things first. And it had the reference to this passage here, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How do you seek the kingdom of God? I would seek to promote it. I would seek to bring folks into it. I would seek to exalt it. I would seek to please the leader of that kingdom. I would seek to live a life this year that is more about that kingdom than this world. Amen? But it's more generic than that. He just makes a statement there in verse 7, seek. And he doesn't even specifically say what. And I think it's important to seek the right things, don't you? Again, why would someone not seek? We have some things in our house. Yesterday we unpacked two more boxes. These are boxes that have been packed since 2015. So we packed, 2016. In the first few months of 2016, we packed up, started packing our house in Maryland, and we put stuff in boxes. And I have not seen it now for 6 years, almost 6 years. We found some really good pictures yesterday, some old family pictures that we hadn't seen for a long time. And my wife found some stuff that she had back from her childhood even that she hadn't seen for a long time. There are some things I have been looking For 6 years, I haven't found them yet. I'm just about given up, except the good news is I'm running out of boxes I haven't opened yet. But there's one particular set of things I'm looking for. There's some old compasses that I had, and I really would like to find them again. I haven't seen them now for over 6 years, 6 years or so. And I've almost given up. But, you know, I'm going to keep looking. In your Christian life, don't give up. Keep looking. Keep seeking. You know, you say, well, last year it didn't go all that well. I didn't have a lot of success. Don't give up. Keep seeking. You say, well, I witnessed to some people, they didn't get saved. Don't give up. Keep seeking. You say, I prayed. And by the way, folks, God's answered our prayers. You say, I prayed about this one thing and God didn't do it. Don't give up. Keep seeking. There's some things we need to keep seeking, and just don't give up. Folks, God hasn't given up yet. Why should we? If God was done, he'd have come taking us home by now. I don't know what God's going to do this year. It may be a fantastic year in my eyes. It may be a calm, quiet year in my eyes. It may be a dreary, dull year in my eyes. But who cares about my eyes? God's got a plan. Seek. Keep on going. Keep on looking. Keep on trying. Don't give up. I've seen God do great things, and he's not finished yet. And you say, well, last year was miserable, Pastor. That's okay. God's good. Keep on seeking. There's one more here. I kind of like this one as well. He says in verse 7, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, when would you knock on something? Today we have doorbells. I really don't like having a doorbell because every time the doorbell rings, the dog goes berserk. Have you ever gone door knocking in Phoenix? You ring the doorbell? We've gone to houses. Two or three little dogs. How many of you have a little dog? Okay, I got to be quite careful. How many of you have two little dogs? Okay, three? Okay, three little dogs is too much. Amen? Okay. One little dog's challenging. We have a big dog, not for long. My son's moving out in February, but anyway, we have this big dog, and this big dog, it's so bad. We're watching TV, and the character on TV, like the Domino's commercial, they ring the doorbell. Well, the dog's not quite bright enough to realize that's not the doorbell. He goes nuts on that one, too. So when I see the Domino's commercial come on, I mute the TV real quick so I don't want to listen to the dog bark. Now, you knock or you ring a bell because you want a door to be opened. Somebody has closed that door, and they need to open it. Now, the illustration is painfully clear. Are there some doors that we'd like to see God to open in our lives this year? Are there some doors we'd like to see God open in our church this year? He can open a door. We're going to be looking at the Revelation in high school Bible. I'm excited. I've been studying the Revelation now most of the month of December, getting ready for high school Bible. If you want to see the lessons, they're on the internet, vcabible.com. And go to lessons and you'll see them all. And I just finished printing the first one out for this class tomorrow. And studying, there's a church, I believe it's a church at Philadelphia, and God says to that church, I've opened a door and no man can shut it. What if God opened a door for our church this year that couldn't be shut? Wouldn't that be exciting? He can do that. We need to be knocking. Knocking is, these are all three manners of request. Asking is a manner of request. Seeking, it's like a request. Knocking is definitely a request. It's a desire to see God open to him, remove a barrier, to clear a path, to allow something that previously was prohibited. You can't go there until the door's open, and now you can. And he says, knock, and he says, what in verse 7? It shall be opened unto you. And that word knock again is to strike with the purpose of gaining. And guess what? Present active imperative. In other words, right now we're supposed to be doing it. Active, it's us doing it. Imperative, it's a command. These are three things God wants us to be doing this year. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In Revelation 3:20, there's my verse. Jesus says this, well, one of my verses. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, that's not the church that he opened the door for. That's a different church. And just for the record, I know some people use this verse as a soul-winning verse, and it certainly can be considered in that regard, but he's not talking about soul-winning here. What door is he knocking at there, do you know? He's knocking at the door of a church. Isn't that unusual to think about? Jesus outside the door of a church knocking, seeking to come in. I hope our door is open to him. Amen? Just a good question to ask. Is the door open in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just for salvation, but for fellowship. Because what he says at the rest of that passage is, if you'll open the door, he'll come in and he'll have supper with you, is kind of the paraphrase, but he will commune with you. He will have fellowship with you. He's knocking. In fact, you know where the door is? He's knocking. Open the door. Amen? See what he has to say. He wants to have fellowship with you. And he wants you to talk to him as well. Knock and it shall be opened. Admission, opportunity, removing an obstacle. Again, why wouldn't someone knock? The same reason they wouldn't seek, perhaps, the same reason they wouldn't ask. Either there's no hope or there's no desire. My wife and I probably go for a walk tonight if we get home. We haven't for a while. We need to. And walking down the street, I don't go up to every house and knock on the door. That would be obnoxious, wouldn't it? And no, I just walk down the street. I walk past that door, walk past that door, walk past that door. Why? I don't want to go in those places. Where do you want to go for the Lord this year? That's when you knock. What doors does God need to open this year? Someone says, well, it just doesn't do any good. I've tried and it doesn't help. What if God opened the door? Then it would be worthwhile, wouldn't it? Don't give up. That's where it all comes back to. Ask, and it shall be given you, he says in verse 7. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. It all comes back to, what do we desire to accomplish in the coming year? Did anybody here make a list of New Year's resolutions? I don't want to insult you or hurt your feelings or anything. Have you ever done that? Somewhere along the way. What was the foundation of those? In other words, where do they come from? You know, there's some resolutions that are good ones. Like, you may say, I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. That's a good resolution. I'm going to pray every day this year. That's a good resolution. I don't know how you can go through a day without praying or reading your Bible for that matter, but perhaps some people do. I'm going to be in church faithful this year every Sunday. That's a good resolution. The devil's going to try and stop you, but God can open that door. A lot of resolutions, we say things like, well, I'm going to get in shape, or, you know, I'm going to save money, or, you know, I'm going to be different in some area in my life. They all have a purpose. Our purpose ought to be to please God. Because, again, like I said this morning, this is a time of preparation for our presentation to the King. If somehow you could just be judged in eternity based on this coming year. This is all fiction, but if God was to come to you and to say, I'm only going to judge you for 2022, that's the year that's going to matter, would you live this year different? Amen? Would you do some things different? Well, I want you to know something. In the Bible, there were some fellows that went to work. One of them started early in the morning. Some of them started later in the day. Some of them started an hour before the day was over. And God gave them the same reward. The truth is, if you were, let's say, for sake of illustration, that you have been living a life that just really didn't honor God at all, and years have gone by like that, and suddenly you turn and you said, this year, God enabling me, my goal is, I want to live for God. When you stand before him in judgment, he can forgive those years in the past and reward you for what you're doing right now. It's not too late. It's not too late to ask. It's not too late to seek. It's not too late to knock. Why wouldn't we? probably comes back down to things like faith. It certainly comes back to things like desire. Perhaps it just comes back to the fact that we feel like it didn't help sometime before in our eyes. But folks, don't make that mistake. This is a good way to live in 2022. Amen? Proverbs 10:24 says, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted." What's your desire in 2022? Proverbs 11:23, "The desire of the righteous is only good. The expectation of the wicked is wrath." Matthew 11:24, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them." Just ask you to do something. Just draw kind of a, build a wall that you can't see through, an opaque wall, solid, no door, and put the past on that side of that wall, and then turn your back to that and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "I'm ready to live for you this year. It doesn't matter what I thought I knew or what mistakes I thought I made or whatever. Lord, I want to live for you this year." That's going to make for a good year, amen? Doesn't mean you have to do it on the 1st of January. In fact, we missed that already. Today's the 2nd. But it's a good day to start. What kind of year are you going to have? "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh," he says. And then, just as he mentioned, just like a child, you're a child of God. That's why that you can know when you ask, he's going to respond. Let's all stand and pray.